Let's pray together. Father, we ask in this time now that you would open our hearts and our minds. Help us to see Jesus. Amen. Well, today we come to the end of our series in Mark's Gospel. We spent the last 4 months working our way through the first 6 chapters of Mark. You may well remember that Mark's Gospel originates from the Apostle Peter. Mark was Peter's scribe, and he's recorded Peter's preaching of Jesus' life for us. And I think we've learnt a lot through these chapters, haven't we? Both about Jesus and how we should respond. And I hope that we'll continue looking at Mark's Gospel, probably from continuing next January in chapter 7. But as we close our series today, we're going to look at this last part of Mark chapter 6, where Jesus walks on water. And if you want to follow it with me, it's on page 1009. Today's sermon is, I suppose, part 2. This event really belongs alongside what we saw last week. So let's start with a quick reminder of last week's passage, which, as we've already heard, was about the feeding of the 5,000. And I think we saw 3 important truths about Jesus last week. Firstly, we saw how Jesus is in his very nature God. I mean, who else could produce food out of effectively nowhere? Yes, there was food to start off with, but very little. And at the end of the miracle, there was more than there was to start with. Only God can do that. Jesus is in his very nature God. Secondly, we saw Jesus is the compassionate shepherd. He saw the people as lost sheep and wanted to teach and guide them. He wanted to teach and guide us lost sheep too. Thirdly, we saw Jesus is the Messiah and rescuer from God. Remember how Jesus is bringing about a new exodus. He's come to rescue us. He's come to rescue you. He's come to rescue me from spiritual slavery to sin. Just as the Israelites were slaves in Egypt and they were brought out of slavery to be his special people, so we can be brought out of the slavery to sin to be his special people, God's treasured possession. That's what he wants for you and me. Now that's all very important stuff to understand. But did the original followers of Jesus grasp these important lessons? Well, unfortunately not. At least not at this stage. They did later on, thank goodness. Verse 52 of today's Bible passage tells us that they had not understood about the loaves. They still did not realise the full reality of who Jesus is. They did not realise that Jesus is none other than God, the shepherd Messiah, come to rescue them. You know, those disciples are just like us. Sometimes it takes us a while to see who Jesus truly is. Today's passage starts in verse 45 with Jesus telling his disciples to go on ahead in a boat across the Sea of Galilee. And in verse 46, he goes off to pray. Now, although we know Jesus prayed often, Mark, in his gospel, only records Jesus praying at moments of great significance. Here is one of those moments. It's a significant moment because Jesus feels he has to pray to his Father because, quite frankly, his disciples are just not getting it. I imagine Jesus is probably praying something along the lines of, "Oh Father, what must I do to help my followers understand? Help them to see, Father." Well, having prayed, night begins to fall. Jesus gets ready to do another major act of revelation. Will his disciples work it out this time? That's the question we should be asking. Well, the disciples, they're there in the middle of the lake, finding it tough going. And then in verse 48, about the fourth watch of the night, Jesus walks out to them. He's about to pass them by when they see him, and they just freak out. They are terrified. Verse 50, Jesus says, "Take courage, it is I. It is I, don't be afraid." He climbs into the boat, the wind dies down. Now in those verses, Jesus has actually just done 3 significant acts of revelation. Things to help the disciples see that he is God himself, come to rescue his people. Let's go through those things briefly. Revelation number one is there. Jesus walks on water. Now in those days, the sea was seen to be uncontrollable. And it still is, isn't it? We only have to think of those poor migrants caught up in those disasters in the Mediterranean. The sea is a fierce enemy. And the Old Testament portrays God alone as having power over the ocean. We see that in the way that God can part the Red Sea, something no one else could possibly do. The Psalms talk about God alone having power over the sea. So when Jesus walks on water, he is saying, look, I have come to you full of God's power. I have control over the ocean. I have control over the wildest elements of nature, even the sea. Therefore, can't you see who I am? I am God, the Messiah and the Rescuer. That's Revelation number one. Now, Revelation number two is there in that little phrase, verse 48. Jesus was about to pass them by. Pass them by. It's a little phrase that we can easily miss. But it's a phrase loaded with significance. Going back to the Old Testament, two of the greatest revelations of God use that phrase. So we have Moses on Mount Horeb, or Mount Sinai, as it's also called. Exodus 34, verse 6. Remember, God, this has just happened after all that golden calf business. The people have been forgiven, and now God is going to reveal his glory to Moses. And here's the phrase. The Lord passes by Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. A huge revelation of God using that phrase, the Lord passes by Moses. And then another big revelation of God comes to Elijah. Same mountain, Mount Horeb. 1 Kings 19, verse 11. God reveals himself to Elijah. The Lord said to Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of God, for the Lord is about to pass by. And so God reveals himself to Elijah. Here in Mark 6, Jesus wants to reveal that he is the Lord God to the disciples, hence he is about to pass them by. Revelation number 3. Verse 50, Jesus says, take courage, it is I. And it is I alludes to I am. The burning bush episode in Exodus 3. Moses asks God, what's your name? The response is, I am. I am who I am. And Jesus is alluding it to that here. He's deliberately using that phrase alongside the walking on water and the passing by to say, look, I am the Lord God. I am the Messiah, come to rescue you from spiritual slavery, which is what I was trying to tell you in the feeding of the 5,000. But you have not grasped it yet. So I'm re-emphasizing it now by walking on water. But the disciples still do not appear to twig. We pick it up from the end of verse 51. The disciples were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. The disciples then have not yet worked it out. The reason, they've got hard hearts. Their hearts are hard. So often that is like us. And the question all this raises, quite simply, is what will it take for hard-hearted people to become Christians? What will it take for somebody to be converted? And we experience that, don't we, when we talk to some of our friends? We try and explain to them the Christian faith, and they don't seem to get it. I know it from my own experience, too. I remember when I first went to university in Liverpool, I arrived at my halls of residence. And I've told this story before, I know, but for me it's important because I saw a little phrase pinned up on the kitchen notice board. It was just a joke. Jesus saves, but Keegan scores on the rebound. And I saw that joke and I chuckled at it. I knew that phrase, Jesus saves, but I didn't understand it. I never asked, well, what does it mean? How does Jesus save us? What does Jesus save us from? Why do we need saving? I didn't get it. And looking back, I can only conclude that my heart was hard. My eyes were blind. I couldn't see. However, a couple of years later, through patient conversations with a friend and by looking at the Bible with him, the penny finally dropped. And finally, those words, "Jesus saves," began to make sense, although it was a few more months before I committed my life to God. But you see, I needed to see, and I needed God to open my eyes for me. For many people, the journey to faith is just that. It's a journey. But it's a journey we have to travel with God. We need to rely on Him. We need God to reveal Himself to us. We see that with the apostles. Today they do get a little bit closer, I believe, to seeing who Jesus is. But they've still got some way to go. But they're on a journey. Just like us. They will get there. When we continue looking at Mark next year, we will see that when we get to chapter 8, the penny drops with Peter. Well, it starts to drop. He works out who Jesus is, but he's still got to work out why Jesus has come. But I guess what I'm saying is that we need God to help us if we're to clearly see who Jesus is. We need God to help our friend who we're talking to about the Christian faith, if they're to see who Jesus is. And that takes prayer. It takes time spent thinking through God's word, but we've got to rely on God to reveal himself. Just like those disciples, we just often don't get Jesus because our hearts are hard, or our friends' hearts are hard. So pray for insight. Pray for God to soften our hearts and our friends' hearts. Journey with God to deeper faith. Join a home group. Invite your friend to Curious or Christianity Explored. Read some of the books in our library and lend them to your friend. Keep praying. God will bring you there. When I first started leading a Bible study group way back in 1991, it was the Gospel of Mark. And we went right the way through the year. And a girl called Sally was in that group. Towards the end of the year, she said something that really warmed my heart. We were there, she was chatting to a friend, trying to explain the Christian faith to her with me. And she told her friend, "Look, sis, it takes time. I didn't really understand the Christian faith at the beginning of the year. I didn't know that. She hadn't told me." I know she was quiet, but she'd been sitting there in ignorance. And then she said that at some point during the year, things began to click. And quietly at home one evening, she prayed a prayer of commitment and became a follower of Jesus. And now she was trying to encourage her friend to be a follower too. How did it come about? Through patiently journeying with Jesus and with prayer and with Bible reading, Bible studying in a group. And this shy girl then, through God's work in her life, developed in confidence. And over the next few years, she actually started working full-time as a Christian worker. She quietly would come alongside other girls and help them in their faith. Sally eventually got married, and the last I heard, she and her husband were training, in theological training, ready to go off to Cuba together to work as missionaries. Well, the apostles here in Mark 6 witnessed amazing revelation from Jesus, but even with them it took time and prayer, and ultimately it took a miracle from God to help them see. But think about it, God then used them to build the church. And look at the church today, spanning across the world, countless millions. Isn't that wonderful? You see, you may think you don't have much to offer God, but God can use even you and me for his purposes. That's fantastic, isn't it? We simply need to let him work in our lives and journey with him. Well, maybe you feel you just don't quite get all this God and Jesus stuff. Or you have a friend who doesn't seem to get it. And maybe you just don't know what to do about that. Perhaps you feel you've stalled in your Christian faith and that there's some blockage preventing you from going further. Or perhaps you feel you've got a hard heart, or your friend has a hard heart, or simply you just want to go deeper. Well, maybe the Lord is calling you today to journey with him to deeper faith, or to journey alongside your friend Whatever the situation, why not pray about it? Continue on reading Mark's Gospel over the next few days. But over time, just be amazed at what God does. Let's pray. Father, open our eyes. Help us to see. Help us to pray for our friends so that they may see. Above all, reveal yourself to us and to our friends. Build us up, just like my friend Sally. Change us from being rather timid people into being people who are confident to do your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.